Whenever the phrase God provides, then they would yell, hold on. So if you feel the urge to do that, just go for it. It's okay. Right on. Thank you. And when I was thinking of putting this together or giving that same message here this morning, there's two things that came to my mind. One was, we need to hear the gospel message over and over and over again, because it's from the gospel that we get our identity. Because of the gospel, we work differently during the week. Because of the gospel, our marriages are different. Our hope is incredible because of the gospel. We live in the reality of God because of the gospel. All because of the gospel. So the gospel changes everything. So we need to hear it over and over and over again, no matter how long you have been worshiping the Lord. So that's one thing. The second thing is the five Bible truths that the kids went through this week, four of them come after the forgiveness of sins that God has given us. When He forgives us, He loves us forever, provides for us, is our comforter, and is our healer. That's the relationship we have with God when He saves us after salvation. Those who are not saved do experience some of God's provision and His comfort and His healing. That's called common grace. It comes from passages like Matthew 5 verse 43 in there somewhere, where God's rain and His sun falls both on the just and the unjust, on the evil and on the good. So God's goodness falls on all people, but for us who are found in Christ, we experience God in a different way. We can count on Him as our provider, as our comforter, as our healer, as the one who loves us forever, and as our Savior. So I just want to have those two things in your minds as I go through this. We always need to hear the gospel, and these are truths that those who are in Christ can count on. Let me just turn this that way so that it stops moving my sheet. So we know from science that God exists. The universe had a beginning. That's what science tells us. The planets have to be exactly where they are in the universe, or else things fall apart. That's what science tells us. And even the smallest atoms, they work together for a reason. So none of this could have just happened by itself or from itself. God made it. He is the creator. And God let people know who He is, and the Bible is full of amazing things about who God is and what He has done and what He will do. And God tells us that He is perfectly good, perfectly right, and perfectly holy. There is nothing bad or wrong in Him or about Him. Nothing. Now, God is that way. But we know people are not perfectly good and perfectly right and perfectly holy like God. We know that. We know that we are not holy. We do bad things. Every single person does bad things. And those bad things are really bad, and they have a special name, and it's called sin. And sin is acting and believing that God isn't the boss of your life, that you don't have to listen to Him or follow Him or treat Him as the most special ever. In fact, sin is acting and believing that you are more special than God, so you can do whatever you want. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Sin is our worst and biggest problem. And for every single person, our sin stands between God and us like a wall. Our sin keeps us from the holy, pure God. But God didn't want it to stay that way. So He made a plan to forgive people their sin, a plan to take that sin wall away, a plan that would allow people to follow God, to love God, to enjoy God, and to be with God forever as His children. But sin is really bad and must be punished by God. But how can someone be punished for their sin and not be destroyed? How could they survive God's punishment? Well, no one can. But God the Son, Jesus Christ, can. Jesus is God, and therefore could receive this punishment without being destroyed. So God's great and awesome plan was to send Jesus to earth, have him live a perfect, holy, no sin life, and instead of a person receiving the punishment their sin deserves, Jesus, perfect Jesus, would volunteer to take that punishment. Jesus would live like God wants all people to live, without sin, and he would be the sacrifice for sin. The only perfect person ever taking the punishment from God for sin. So Jesus died on the cross, but rose from the dead because he took care of sin. Now listen to this amazing point. If any person believes they did all that sin against God, when they admit that they treated God very badly, which is confess, when they stop being the boss of their own life and have God as their boss, which is repent, and believe that only Jesus can take away sin, then that person's wall of sin, separating them between them and God, separating them, will be taken away once and for all. They will be forgiven. And when a person is forgiven by God, they become a part of God's family. It's a trade. You trade your sin to Jesus, and you receive in return forgiveness and being brought into God's family as a completely forgiven person. And God becomes your heavenly father and is better than the best mom or dad that's here on earth. And because you are God's child, you can hold on to some awesome, awesome truths. He will love you forever. Thank you. Thank you. For the rest of your life here on earth, and forever with him in heaven, he will love you forever. I know this is participation now, okay? Here we go. It's going to ramp up a little bit more now. He will also provide what you need. He will make sure you get what you need. Now, this doesn't mean you're going to get everything that you want. God isn't some genie that just gives you your wishes. He is better than the best and smartest mom or dad. He'll get you what you need, like family and friends and food, stuff like that. But also, you need to know who God is, what he has done, what he can do, how he wants you to live, who you are when you belong to him. And he provides all that truth in the Bible. And we are able to read the Bible over and over and over again for the rest of our lives, getting to know what God says about himself and who we are. So God provides. Excellent. And because you belong to God, God also comforts us. Hard things in life always, always happen. If you come to our church on Sunday mornings and during our prayer time, you hear of the challenges that Christians go through all the time. Hard, hard stuff. You know, I used to have two brothers. Now I only have one brother. And that was super, super hard. But God promises to comfort us and help us whenever there are hurtful things or scary things come up. He doesn't promise that no hurtful things will happen to us. He doesn't promise to just make all the hurt go away, but he does promise to always be with us and comfort us and make us strong and keep us going when we are hurting. He promises that. He promises to be, give us comfort. And God promises to heal us. Things that hurt us in our hearts, in our minds, he will bring healing to us, and even sometimes to our bodies. He won't always heal our bodies. My brother still died. God didn't heal his body. But my brother believed and trusted and lived for Jesus. And now is in heaven, face to face with Jesus. And his body, it's all fixed up. It's all good. So sometimes God heals our bodies here, not always, but he will definitely heal us in heaven. God heals us. So we as the church, not just people that have not heard the gospel message, but we as those who belong to Jesus need to hang on to these truths forever and ever and ever. And we need to preach this to ourselves over and over again because we tend to drift. We tend to think we get super smart and we don't need to hear that simple stuff anymore. No, we need to preach to ourselves over and over again that only God has the power to forgive our sin. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, and when we believe in him and trust him for our forgiveness, we become closer to him than we are to our moms and our dads. And what God does for his children is he loves them forever. Here on earth and in heaven for eternity. And he provides. He gives us what we need. He always will. And he comforts us. He takes care of our hurts and our feels and if our feelings, hurts and our feelings, and he heals us. He heals us of stuff that goes on in our hearts and our minds and sometimes our bodies here on earth, but in heaven, everything will be healed. So, church, and those of you here that might not be worshiping God, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Believe in his power to rescue you from your sin and make you God's child and begin your new life belonging to Jesus and living in the truth that God has revealed to us in his Bible. Come, come and accept Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, these are beautiful truths that those of us who are worshiping you can celebrate. And Lord, forgive us for how often we drift away from that and come up with our own philosophies and thanks and fancy thinking of how to do life. Father, may we do life according to how you have said we are to do life. And there is full abundance. There is real living. There is real joy. Lord, may we live in the reality of you. And Father, for those that have not repented and given their life to you, those that are not worshiping you, Father, open their eyes to your truth this morning. May they know you. May they come to understand who they are and who you are. And may they turn to you. Lord, all those kids that came through the day camp this week, those that are not worshiping you, Lord, open their eyes to your truth. May they start worshiping you at their young age and continue on right into until their life here on earth is done and they go into glory and see you face to face. Father, bring lost people to yourself. Draw them to yourself, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.